butterfly in the sky.
I'll give you trouble.
It's video soul.
Hey, welcome back. It's Made in the 1980s, a show that is an escape from your grown-ass life. And hope y'all been enjoying the episode so far, you know. And we are going to get deep into the nostalgia, like, nasty bag today, probably. Probably. We don't know. We were still children at this time, so we don't know. But what we do know for a fact is that I am Cam from the Port. And I'm sitting here with my guy, Wang Dang.
It's your boy, Wang Dang, a.k.a. Mr. If I'm Not Wrong, I'm Right.
Yes. So, let's get down to business. You know what? No. We can't get down to business. Not just yet. Because I got to bring up a revelation that is super painful in every imaginable way. And it is surrounded about hitting your knee at 40 and 40 plus. Hitting your damn knee at 40, like, you start to hear, like, ringing in your ears now, and like shrillness. It's almost like everything is just like your world is changing. I'm like, am I turning into Terminator 2, or did I break this? Like, this feels bad. I hit my knee so damn bad a few times that I almost cut my leg off. It was terrible. It was super terrible. So, like, that is, listen, for anybody that's out the demo that's listening, and especially if you're over like 5'10, 5'11, if you're over, like, just sitting down and hitting your knee, like, it ain't that at 16, 17, or even 25 or 30, it ain't that it didn't hurt, but now it's borderline crippling. And that is the issue that I have with hitting my knee at 40 years old. And now I hear things. It's like construction work goes on in my mind when I hit my damn knee. It really sucks. Yeah.
That's what we're kicking it off with?
Yeah, I mean, why not? You know what I'm saying? I mean, we got to give some rules for life out here. It can't just be all entertainment. You know what I'm saying? It can't just be all about the entertainment piece. We got to give y'all some real life, some real game. And, man, you know, I am this close from just hopping on the Dick's Sporting Goods, ordering a couple knee pads or some braces, Patrick Ewing it up, and then I'm just good. It's bad.
Hey, pain do hit different in your 40s, man. Recovery time is a motherfucker.
Hey, straight up. Hey, listen, I realized that I'm so just achy, breaky, shout to Billy Ray Cyrus, that I started doing yoga, man. Started doing yoga. It ain't because now just doing my 4 or 5 little warm-up stretches before working out, it just don't work like it used to. It's not happening, man. I need to, you know, do something else. And, hey, yo, yoga's difficult. I'm gonna say I heard. But I'm gonna keep going because I do honestly feel the difference in my flexibility already. And, you know, just as an adult, there are some things I still should be able to do, like just sit. Like Indian style. I used to do this all the time when I was like, and I should be able to do that and not feel like I'm breaking a sweat, right? Like I can't get up, or like I need some kind of assistance. Like I should be able to do that. I look young enough to where it looks like I can sit Indian style and just pop right back up. But my body tells me different.
It hasn't even crossed my mind to even consider, to fathom the thought of sitting Indian style. That's crazy.
See,
that is crazy.
You know what I'm saying? Like, have you ever just thought, hey, yo, I'm gonna sit on my knees, or I'm just gonna sit on the floor. Like, if you haven't even contemplated sitting on the floor with the potential of getting up by yourself, you might want to just consider it.
For some reason, and I'm not opposed to it, that every time me and you sit down, every episode, you find a way to encourage me to try some new shit.
Yeah.
Because now I'm over here like, can I still sit in this town? And if I can't, what are the steps for me to come back 3, 4, 5, 6 pods later and be like, your boy said it in your style again?
You know what I'm saying? Hey, hey, listen. Hey, look. One of my favorite games to play when we were kids was Duck, Duck, Goose. I just realized a week ago that if I got Goose, I've been lost because I can't get up fast enough from the Indian style position to then run around and catch you. I used to be the Michael Johnson of that game. I was the Usain Bolt of Duck, Duck, Goose at Lincoln Douglas.
To think about that, to go from sitting down to standing up.
Yeah. Hey.
Wow.
Different.
Wow.
Yeah.
I just broke out in a sweat thinking about that shit.
Exactly. Praying to the duck now. See? I used to want to be the goose. I'm like, yo, I'm going to catch. I'm going to catch, dude. I'm going to catch Retide. I'm going to catch him. But now, keep going. Keep going, dog.
The only way I'm going to tag you, because the time it's going to take him to make that loop, I'm still going to be in that same damn spot.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. That's what it's going to be. Oh,
that's
man.
Crazy.
Yes, man. So, hey, listen, hey, all of you 80s babies, can you sit Indian style? That's the question of the day. You know what I'm saying? We just started the show. We ain't even 10 minutes in. And that's the question of the day. Can you even sit Indian style anymore? You know what? Is that a slur now? I just thought about that.
Hey, that's a diss.
Yeah, dang.
That is.
Can you sit with your legs crossed? Wait. Yo, it's made in the 1980s. We're just going to move on. Hey, listen, I was born in the 80s and that was okay to say. I'm sorry. If I offended anybody whose land this actually is, I am sorry. But we're going to move on with the show today. So, Wang and I, we've been talking about just different angles of nostalgia. Obviously, we've covered music and we obviously gonna get back to music. We've done TV shows, I think movies. We've done people we want to be like, wanted to be like, characters that were cool. We've covered a lot of topics as far as just 80s, 80s nostalgia, 80s inspiration and influence. Now, I'm going to talk 80s sexy. And 80s sexy is different from any other genre or decade. I'm sorry, any other decade of sexy, if you really like think about it, right? Because when it was like the 30s and 40s, it was like, yo, who had the best like sequined gown with the cigar with like the little like stick attached to it with the damn feather thing, right? And then as you get into like the 50s, it's like the big hoop skirts and shoot, basically, hey, do you like the Supremes or not? You know what I'm saying? Like that's what made you kind of bad back in the day. And then 60s is an interesting transition. It's interesting because, you know, if you were a freedom fighter or you burned your bra, or I'm not saying this, but it looked like white guys were into dirty white girls in the 60s. But when I say that though, because Woodstock, you know what I'm saying? The hippie era, like it's like, yo, it's like, oh, the girl with the hip and lice, like, oh, she's fire. But I don't know. We had Angela Davis. So you know what I mean? So I can't really speak to much beyond that. 70s, obviously, disco. And I think disco and like cocaine were synonymous, like, you know, Studio 54, I believe it's the 70s. So, you know, you kind of got a few different things going on, you know what I mean? Like, you know, you got Donna Summers, but you still got Aretha Franklin and Tina Turner, and you got like, you got a lot of different things happening. But then like, like, you know, you got the real thin ankled white girls with all like the rouge and blush like combinations. They look like Hellcats or Shatara off of the Thundercats or something like that. Like that's that look, right? And then boom, here comes the 80s. The 80s is probably the most eclectic time for women's style, right? Because you got, you know, your rocker chicks like Cyndi Lauper during this time. But then you got sitcoms bringing like wholesome young teenage girls that just want to drink with their friends and have big fun, or, you know what I'm saying, or they're beating up their little brothers or whatever, right? And then you got like very elegant harlots, right? This is kind of like the 80s, like just as a whole, like pop. So Wang and I are gonna break down our top. What, we're gonna do 5, we're gonna do 10? What do you got? Well,
I say let's not even put a number on it.
Okay, let's not put a number. Okay, no numbers.
Because I got a strong feeling something I say is gonna spark something in you that you wasn't thinking about, and vice versa. So I don't even say, we don't even put a number on it.
For sure. So, okay, so since you said that, I'm glad you said that. Because there's no number. We're just gonna name people, name women. So, like, can we get the does out the list first? Can we get the automatic does?
Yeah.
Or at least speak about the people that we know are synonymous with the 80s and being like top tier.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right. So Claire Huxtable, boom, we said it, right?
Yeah.
Who's gonna go against Claire Huxtable being on anybody's list for 80s sexy, right?
That's
pretty much a no-brainer. Matter of fact, really sticking with the exact same show, Lisa Bonet. Duh. Nobody's putting Denise Huxtable. Let me say this, because obviously we're like young kids at the time. Denise Huxtable, I believe, is the first woman on TV that I actually heard people talking about. Like, oh, wow, you see that girl? She cold. The girl Denise, like, she's so cold. Like, the thing is, I didn't register that for, like, anybody else until I got older. But I feel like Denise Huxtable, AKA Lisa Bonet, well, that's her real name, I should say. Should I say it backwards, right? I believe that she is the first woman on TV that I actually heard people like fawning over or like really loving, liking, or just being like extremely overly attracted to them.
It was her. It was Sheila E. and Vanity.
Boom. Again, hey, see, we're on the same page. Sheila E., Vanity. Again, duh. You know what I mean? Like, hey, it's Laura Charles. You know what I'm saying? Hey, Prince used to beat. Ain't no way. You know what I'm saying? Basically, every woman that Prince used to beat is going to be on these lists, right? 80s, 90s, 2000s. Like, hey, yo, if Prince got to her, she on the list. So, Vanity, obviously, basically. Sheila E., you know what I mean? Hey, and real quick, you know who I used to get confused like all the time, even on TV? Sheila E. and Lisa Lisa.
I can see that. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, I was because like I was like, yo, Lisa Lisa and Cult Jam is also Sheila E. I was, but I'm like, yo, totally like, no. But even when I Googled them for this, I was like, yeah, I see why I kind of got confused. Like, both of them and Apollonia look like they cousins.
For real. So, but that's also, but that's also due to this for another conversation, but that was also due to the fact that everybody, if you weren't light-skinned, nobody was trying to put the pretty dark-skinned chick on. You had to look damn near white. You had to look damn near white in the 80s to get on.
That's true. That's true. That, yeah, man. I mean, hey, you know, it's a very color-struck time in the 80s. Switching gears, I guess, a little bit. I don't know. I'm kind of indifferent on this pick, and I'm not trying to hate, but how we feel about Vanna White?
For me, mm-hmm. no. For me, no.
See?
I get it. But just based off of my upbringing, mm-hmm. just based off of my upbringing, it was a no-no.
You're meant to be upbringing, it was a no-no. He's like, hey, don't be looking at this little white woman over there. Yeah, hey.
Put your head down.
You know what I'm saying? And you know, I mean, obviously, at the age we are, when Vanna White is like popping, I don't know that I like what I like, but even as I look back, I was like, oh man, they went crazy over that. Yeah, that's kind of crazy. Like, and you know, it's interesting though, because obviously being a wrestling fan, Vanna White kind of puts me in the same mind frame as Miss Elizabeth.
Miss Elizabeth.
You know, and again, they were always talking about, like, you know, that the sell to put Miss Elizabeth over. I'm like, oh, she's so beautiful, she's so glamorous. And I'm like, she wear like 14 pounds. And most of it is hair. But
right,
you know, it's not that she doesn't have a nice looking face, but I never really was like over the top for Vanna White or Miss Elizabeth. It was just like, eh, I could deal with or without. But I mean, as we talk 80 sexy, she is one of the people that was at the top of that list. I don't know if they were definitely doing like sexiest woman alive list. Maybe I should have Googled this, but I'm pretty sure that she either would have won or did win, because just on based on how people were talking about her and turning the letters. Like, it was a real thing. They was going crazy in the 80s.
She was so talented.
All right, so talented. Yeah. So I think, okay, now I kind of feel this is a no-brainer, especially with her resurgence in what was that, the 2000s? Paula Abdul, you know.
Paul, yeah, I give you that. But hey, me and my brother was talking about Paula Abdul one day. Mm-hmm. She has that commercial where she's selling that medicine or whatever it was. And me and my brother was talking about it. It was just like, she was sexy, but she was not talented at all.
You're on the tap dancing? And look around, hey, I will say this. I'm glad that Paula Abdul never really tried acting like that. Like,
oh my God.
It wasn't until American Idol where I was like, yo, yeah, it was like dancing was really her thing. Cause I mean, you know, she used to be a Laker girl, you know what I'm saying, when the Lakers got popping. And then she did the album. And I mean, you know, you don't really have to sing when you look like that. But I didn't realize how marginal of a vocal talent she was, because I was like, oh wow, this little lady dancing with the cat is super pretty.
She was the first J-Lo.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely the first J-Lo.
She's the first J-Lo.
Absolutely. Yeah, hey, absolutely. So, you know, oh. Hey, lightning struck twice.
Okay, so let me give you one. And okay. You got to be kind of lenient with me on this okay. one, because when she got started, it was the 70s. And when it kind of disappeared, was in the 80s, but she would make resurgence here and there.
Okay.
Thelma from Good Times.
Yeah. Yo, hey, that's one I caught on late, and it took me watching the weigh-ins to realize, like, oh. I was like, oh, yeah, oh, no. But, yo, she's actually fire. But, again, because, like, you know, you never know, like, because they have her looking like an older woman on the weigh-ins.
Well, no, on the Wayans, that was Jeanette DuBois. That was Willona.
You're talking about the daughter.
The daughter. But Willona was fine in a motherfucker, though.
Don't get
it wrong. Willona was fine in a motherfucker.
Yeah. Hey, yes, no. Yeah. The Good Times cast definitely aged really well.
Except for JJ.
This show is definitely not about Mr. Evans or JJ. Hey, but which brings us to our other 80s no brainer, but we obviously gotta celebrate her every time. Janet Jackson. Like, you don't do like a show like this, you don't list these topics of, you know what I'm saying, of 80s sexy without, you know what I'm saying, listing Janet Jackson. You just can't.
No, you can't. But I also have another one that I know that you didn't even think of.
Okay, let's see.
Fuck, she was just on the tip of my tongue. Jody Watley.
Hey, yo, what's so wild? I as much as I randomly think about Jody Watley, I definitely forgot.
Bro, Jody Watley's still fine.
Yeah, yo.
To this day.
I think I had an uncle that was super in love with Jody Watley. Oh, one of the older men in my family was like, yo, that motherfucker Jody Watley. I was like, oh, yeah. Whoa. Like, should I even hear this? Jody Watley was definitely fire though. Like, hey, what's so dope is that by the time we get to like past puberty and like we start liking what we like, and I see an old Jody Watley video, I'm like, oh, that's what I was watching. Oh my god. I see what my uncle was talking about now.
I see exactly what Uncle was talking about.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
I see it all.
No, very good pick. Very good pick there. Yes. Super sleeper pick again. Like, hey, look, we know the ones that were like forced to the forefront by whatever circumstance. But like now, wait, no, matter of fact, before I go into the obscure ones, is there anyone else that you feel that we are leaving off of the duh, no-brainer? Or is it some people to call to the carpet like Jane Fonda?
So since we're going to go that route, let's talk about Jane Fonda.
Yeah.
Let's talk about
Jane Fonda. Yeah. Hey. Listen, let's get physical. Jane Fonda, find the fitness. What's very interesting about Jane Fonda, right, is that I believe her look really works any decade, because especially for white males, right? Because she's not super thick, but she wasn't rail thin, face dece, and she's obviously very active. You know what I'm saying? Like, and some people would even say that she's one of the few white women that actually looked better the older she got. And it's not like GMO, HGH, injections, implants. Like, she actually started looking like good for an old white lady.
I agree with you on that one.
So it's like, you know, like I'm, and this is not to say, oh man, Jay Fonda was doing it for me, but it's just like, hey, you know,
do we get it?
I guess that's the question. Do we get what they saw back in the 80s, even though we were kids at the time?
I can appreciate it more today than I would have then or 20 years ago.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I'm with you. Okay. I'm with you on that.
Okay, so I'm going to hit you with four at a time.
Okay, let's go.
1988. In Vogue.
Oh, man. Fire.
All four members.
Yeah. All four. That is, In Vogue is why Biggie dissed Escape. I always feel, you know what I'm saying? Because that was four girls too, but them four girls didn't look like them four girls.
Not
you know what I'm saying? No, but listen, I kid you not. Again, there are a few moments in time that I can recall to where I had no doubt in my mind I was going to be a heterosexual male. One of those times,
I know what you're talking about,
is when BET played Giving Them Something He Can Feel by En Vogue, and I watched that video and I was like, yeah, I like this. I like all of this. You don't lose here. Like, that's when, hey, listen, I don't know if my mom ever had questions about me. I don't know. But I tell you what, I definitely stopped questioning myself when I saw that video. I was like, yo, do I even like this girl like that? Do I like it? I was like, but no. When it really registered, I was like, oh, well, no, I like girls like that.
Like that. Like that.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
That video changed many of young men in the 80s.
Facts.
Vision of how they view the girls on the playground.
Oh yeah, like, yeah. Like, playgrounds are never the same. Playgrounds are never different now.
this is a whole nother. This is different now. Like, this is different now. This is a game changer.
All of a sudden, Stacy and her hugs and penny candy ain't doing it for you, huh, Wayne?
No, sure. I gotta get home and see them girls in them red dresses.
Oh no! Oh
God! No! I don't want to hold hands and walk to the swing no more. I want to go see those red dresses on video soul when I get to the crib.
You know what I'm saying? Yo, hey, clutch game changers. That is for sure. Good selection on En Vogue. Okay, great. Okay, so now, even though I think there's a few more like no-brainers, even as I look at my list, we're gonna open up the spectrum, man. Let's really talk about maybe some obscure picks to you or myself of the women in TV shows, movies, music, wherever that you maybe weren't even supposed to like that, but you saw something that was like, nah, that does it for me though. I'm into that.
I'm going to give you one. Well, I guess I'm going to give the world one that I've never said out loud before in my life.
Here we go, exclusive. This is what I like.
And it's solely for all the wrong reasons. I don't even know if it's fucking true or not. It's just the visual that I get and the way she portrayed herself was just like, sex would be fire.
Let's go.
Like crazy. And I could be horribly wrong, but I don't know. The way I viewed her was just like, that'd be the night of my life.
Mm.
Grace Jones.
Yo. Hey, yo. Hey, listen. Yo. Grace Jones.
Grace Jones. Yo.
Listen, I will say this. Grace Jones used to scare me.
Me too.
Until Boomerang. But I didn't care. After Boomerang, you kind of become oddly intrigued. I was like, does she act like this in real life? Like did she really show her vagina in that scene?
And that might have been the turning point as to why I started to view her that way.
Mm.
But it was just like, I don't know. I just always had this in my head that, like, dude, like, man, a night with Grace Jones would be amazing.
Hey, listen, I think that is a fair assumption to even find out to be wrong. I'd be like, hey, yo, to say it happened. I think it's what you and David Bowie. I think that would be it, right?
I don't know.
It literally could be. It could be, hey, yo, you and David Bowie, could, you know? It's like, yo, we held it down, you know? It's us.
We survived.
You know what I'm saying? Man, funny. But no, hey, listen. And it's so wild though, because even while just doing my own research, making sure I had people in correct timelines, when it came to like 80s models, I think within like 80s, 90s, Grace Jones was in the top five of the list. So I was like, oh, wow.
She was. You know,
so yeah, you're definitely not wrong at all. Not wrong at all. All right. So literally, the reason why we would even do this list, I have this person at the top of my list. Lang, when I tell you that everything about this character on this show kind of, I want to say, embodied what I would be looking for pretty much the rest of my life, or at least I would find somebody that would have to be her favorite character from the show. And I believe I did too, by the way.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. Freddie Brooks from A Different World. To me, Cree Summers is the baddest woman on the planet in the 80s. Nobody's more fire than her than me. With everything going on, and it's not just her look. I was really like, her whole style was super crazy to me. Like, I liked her hair, I liked her outfits, like her hats. And then to know that even to this day, she still dresses like Freddie Brooks in real life. I was like, yo, she's the dopest woman ever. Like, and I was like, yo, this is, I almost tried to find, I went looking for Hillman because of Freddie Brooks. Freddie Brooks was the end all be all for me in the 80s. There was nobody flyer, there was nobody badder. And I was like, yo, no, I need women of that aura and ilk around me. Especially when I watched the show again as a teenager, I was like, yeah, nah, that's the one.
I get what you're saying as far as Freddie, because one thing I didn't like about A Different World is how they just tried to push Jasmine Guy on us.
Yeah, hey, same.
Now, if we're just going to talk A Different World.
Yeah.
Kim Reese.
Yeah, hey, Hey, Kimberly Reese.
It was something about, and I even peeped it. I didn't peep it then because I didn't know to look for it. You know, I was too young. You know, when that joint went off, when I was 9.
Yeah.
9, 10 years old. So I didn't know to look for it. But in my teens, they used to play the reruns. And I used to peep how they used to dress Kim.
Yeah.
She always had on something like super conservative.
Yeah.
And I found out why.
Yeah. And let me guess.
Kim was dragging that wagon.
but tell me when you really knew though, because I think I know the moment you really knew.
When I really knew that episode of Martin. when she was the damn aerobics trainer.
Yeah, buddy. Hey, yo, the episode of Martin, I was like, oh man, Kimberly really got a fat ass. Like, oh my God.
But like, even outside of that though, just going back to the sitcom day, it was just her thing was like based off of like what my stepfather would tell me, you know, this is what you look for in a woman. You look for a woman that's driven, educated, you know, she about her business. And in the show, that's exactly what she was. She was about her business on top of being fine.
Yeah, no, for sure. For sure. You know what? Yeah. I think when it's so wild as we look at a different world, right? Like looking back, it's that I think if they redo that show today, I think Whitley gets dragged. I think Kimberly Reese is now the star because she, the short, thick chocolate girl, and that's kind of like, you know what I'm saying? Not the end thing, but I think it's just, I think this climate suits her better. And I also think, I even think Dawn Lewis even comes up, Jaleesa even more. And I think all the earthy chicks and the hipsters and all that, they all gonna gravitate to Freddie, and that's dope. But I really do think that if they redid A Different World in this era, the rankings of how they got the women, like, oh no, we totally recalibrate that. But again, I don't know if Kimberly Reese dressed so conservative for every episode either. they don't have a pop out for one episode, and it's gonna be like,
you got to.
So, man. Hey, listen, I am also another one. I was just like, yo, they really forcing this Whitley Gilbert thing. And I was just like, I was like, and it's like, you know, it wasn't that she wasn't like talented or funny, but I didn't find her that fire. I'm just like, yo, out of like that's the one Dwayne chasing on the campus like that. I'm like, all right.
Okay. But out of that lineup. Like I said, Kimberly Reese, Cree Summers, Lisa Bonet, close to the end, Jada Pinkett.
Mm-hmm.
We talking about
homegirl that homegirl, but I forget her name, the one that put the whole sign on her back for real. Look, I'm about to Google her, A Different World cast.
I'm looking at it right now.
Because one, she is super hilarious.
I mean, as the cast goes on, come on, man, Debbie Allen, Jennifer Lewis, like, come on, man, like, man, this,
come
on, man.
Eventually, like, we just get the Whitley firmly off the paint, like it's just gonna go bad. It's just gonna end up going bad, going bad for it. But no, hey, it's but I'm glad that. You know, this is all, I guess, a reality today, right? Because even if you look at like shows like The Fresh Prince, now look, I can't front though. My pick on The Fresh Prince, honestly, was Aunt Viv, the first one. You know what I'm saying? Janet Hubert, I don't know, she's not married anymore. like in the 80s when it debuted, for me, it was Aunt Viv, and I had Hillary and then Ashley. And I know it sounds crazy because Ashley and I are like the same age. But another thing I realized when I was doing the research for this show, for me to be a child, I was really into older women like during these shows. I didn't like a lot of the kids. As I looked at this list, and we'll keep going. I was like, oh, wow. I was like, yo, should I talk this out in therapy? Like, why didn't I like the young girls that were, and I was a young boy on the show.
Could it have been that, because see, I have this thing. Well, first of all, talk about, could it have been that the character that they portrayed as younger than you?
You know what? That's a good point.
You know, man. Okay, yeah, you're 16, but you're playing a 10-year-old, and I'm 12.
Yeah, okay. I get you. You know, because they do have people skewing, like, younger. Like, because, like, Will Smith was obviously 22 years old, but he was in high school. I was like, oh, wait, what? so no, I do get it. And, yeah, by that time, I'm like, you know, obviously – I'm living at a much faster speed than Ashley when Tevin Campbell shows up to sing at her birthday party. It's like, yeah, like this sound lit, but like, yeah, we playing hide and go get it now. We in the movies getting crazy. We in the movie theater going crazy. This happens. So, you know, I mean,
no comment.
Hey, man, back to the list. Hey, so, yeah, but Aunt Viv on my list. I'm gonna toss a name out here. This is for just, did you know, right? One person I really liked, and I'm gonna make a nasty tie-in here, but this is all 80s related. Remember the TV show Head of the Class?
It sounds familiar, but I can't place it.
So, Head of the Class was a show, very short-lived show. And it was, honestly, the star, one of the co-stars on the show was Robin Givens. It's the first place I've seen her, way before she was on Mike Tyson's arm, I seen Robin Givens in this show. But, and don't get me wrong, I thought Robin Givens was decent, but who I thought was super fire at the time was a young lady named Sarah that was there. Her real name is Kimberly Russell. And then I remembered also, and look, and if you got like an hour of life to waste, an hour and a half of life to waste, she's also in Ghost Dad. And that's when I made the connection. I was like, oh, shoot, the girl from this is in that. There's another pick I got in there that the reason why the nasty tie-in is this, and now I want to watch the show back because I haven't watched all of the Nickelodeon doc yet. But the nasty dude, Dan Schneider is fucking on the show. Yeah, the little fat face kid.
That.
Yeah. And I was like, yo, I thought I seen dude before. I thought I seen this nigga before. And sure enough, he's on this show. And so,
wow.
And what's so wild, I won't even front. Fortunately or unfortunately, I don't know. A lot of the memories I remember from that show are like sexually charged and just other things going on. And it wasn't even that type of show. It's supposed to be like clean and G-rated, but like one moment, like two of them is like kissing behind the couch and like hiding and stuff. Like, it's, listen, I gotta watch the show over again for more context because now I gotta look at the show differently now that I know his nasty ass is in it. And it's the same dude from the... Yeah, like, yo, it's like, yo, wait, I know I missed something now. Now I know I missed something because his ass is in. But yes, Kimberly Russell, Sarah from Head of the Class, it's honorable mention because I know she doesn't come up often in a lot of these conversations. I don't even know if she acts anymore either. I'm not sure.
Hold on. Okay. Since I got it pulled up. Okay, so since we since we're still on the sitcom, since we're still on the sitcom, kind of a no-brainer. Well, most definitely a no-brainer. Jack A. Harris, 227.
Hey, literally where I was gonna go next. Yo, hey. Yeah, man. It's kind of hard to, like, again, you know what? She's, like you said, kind of an over, that's the number one black no-brainer, I think, even over Claire Huxtable. Sandra Clark is definitely, like, up there with, like, yo, you can't do a list of any magnitude without her in it. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, it's Jack A. It's Jack. Hey, listen. Jack A came back on Sister Sister, and she lit the streets up again. Now she on the internet on her cougar shit, and saying how, hey, yo, someone she letting some of these young boys beat if they really about that life. It was like, oh wow. Like,
okay, but back to your girl. She just did a joint in 2017 called Rock, Paper, Scissors.
Okay.
And she did another joint in 2018 called Blood Brothers.
Okay.
Oh, and another joint in 2017 called A Night in Jail. Now, oh, I say that to say this. Uh-huh. Where'd it go? And she's still fine.
Facts, though.
57 years old, 59 years old, still fine.
Listen, hey, the picks are the picks, ladies and gentlemen. Shout to Kimberly Russell, damn it. Yeah, straight up.
Still fine.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yes. But yeah, Jack A. Harry, obviously. I think, again, black no-brainer, but. You know, I think people, and what's so interesting about Jack A. Harry, especially if you look at the 80s, like if you look at the contrast between her and just, you know, Felicia Rashad, Claire Huxtable, like they would say her body type is not sexy or not the fit, but it's like, nah. Especially like they on Stoops, they in the projects, like, yo, no, that's the gym. That's the star in the hood right there. You know? Like, you don't throw in the star in the hood. So I like 227 just for that alone. Like the fact that, wow, like even when you look back at it, not that she was like super big or anything, but as she got into her Snicker vibe.
She was considered the brick house.
Yeah, absolutely. And they let that rock. They let her cook, which is dope. Gonna take a break from the black women in this list. Dr. Umar, I'm sorry. close your ears for this. Look, I was a child. And hey, look, there's nothing wrong with being attracted to every woman in the rainbow. But you know who was super sleeper pick to me back in the day? Peggy Bundy is fire to me. Peggy Bundy is super fire to me. Yo, hey, shout out to Katie Seagal. Shout out to Katie Seagal. Hey, listen, I know what y'all wanted me to say. Oh, it's gonna be Kelly, Christina Applegate. And I'm not saying that she wouldn't fire. Hey, listen, that's another one. I was like, we gotta be around the same age, right? But But for real, like the one on the show was Peg. Like y'all was like, hey, it got to a point. I was watching Married with Children. I was like, why don't he want to hit that? like, why does he keep not trying to hit? Like, what's wrong with dude?
Peggy Bundy was another one that I didn't fully understand until I was older. Back then, I'm like, okay, whatever. Okay, this is just what it is. Al said what he said. Al doing what he doing. But as I got older, I was just like, this motherfucker fine.
Facts. Facts, super facts. I was like, yo, like you, I was like, you wilding out, like fam, how you not want that? And I'm like, oh, I'll take it. Hey, man, I was like, right, like, if you don't want it, don't waste your time. Oh, yeah, hey, oh man, but
she was definitely a sleeper. She was a sleeper.
Absolutely. Here's a not so sleeper to me. Again, Dr. Umar, I'm sorry. I apologize, my brother. Rebecca, Full House, Uncle Jesse's wife.
I bet he was fine.
Yeah.
I bet he was fine in the world.
Yeah. Uncle Jesse did win. Hey.
Uncle Jesse most definitely bagged him one.
Yeah. He bagged the hot one. Son scooped the hot one on that one. I like that one.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Uncle Jesse bagged you one with that one. Like, he did the best with that one.
For sure. Okay. Here goes the snow list. Okay, so two more.
Not the snow list.
Two more sleepers. Two more sleepers. Mallory Keaton from Family Ties. Which was, I think, the oldest child, because Michael J. Fox was, I think, the middle child. He was the only son. But the dark-haired girl, they used to date the dumb dude. I think was also the hitchhiker on HBO. I think that's the other job he had. He used to scare the shit out of me. Like, you ever watch the hitchhiker on HBO? Son, hey. Because, of course, my mom loves murder, death, kill, mayhem shows. She used to watch a show called The Hitchhiker. And dog, the dude just walking with the leather coat and the bag in the desert used to scare the hell out of me. And I swear it was her boyfriend on the show. I could be wrong. I could be mixing him up with another dude. But I tell you what, like, the hitchhiker was scary. But I thought Mallory Keaton was pretty dope. She wasn't super fire, but I was like, yo, oh, that must, like, she the one this week. You know what I'm saying? Until Full House come on, then I'm out, then I'm off her. I'm back on Rebecca.
Okay. I'm trying to get find a picture of Valerie Keys.
Ah, okay. Yeah, hey, Family Ties cast. If you don't, you can't find it, because that was her name on the show. I don't remember her name.
I get why you feel that way though. Mm-hmm. Because she gives off Kelly Kapowski vibes.
See, there we go. There we go. Yes, I'm already about to Saved by the Bell. Again, hey, and look, for no brainers, everybody on Saved by the Bell. No brainer. But we're going to talk about them when we get into the 90s. Because the 90s are going to hit different when we talk Saved by the Bell. We gotta say Saved by the Bell for the 90s. But yes. So, and then last one, because I don't want to get 15,000 lashes from Dr. Umar. So we're gonna leave it for one more in the 80s. Right. Carol Seaver from Growing Pains. Now hear me out. This is the thing about Carol Seaver. I feel like I could have went to Lincoln Douglas with Carol Seaver. I kind of feel like she was at Carl Sandburg. I kind of feel like she was at Park Hills Church over there. You just feel like, I feel like I'm gonna sit there in Freeport. I just feel like I'm like, yo, she you don't care, I'll see her, but you go to Park Hills. And there was and there was something I liked about that. It's just something I liked about oh God. Oh my God. But yes. So there it is. Listen, man.
Hey, Dr. Umar is so disappointed in you right now.
Hey, yo. Dr. Umar would be like, yo, my brother need counseling at this point.
That brother's starving.
Oh my God. Oh man. Yeah, man. So that I think that's it. But you know, I will say Peggy Bundy and Rebecca, those were the top tier as far as 80s white women for me. You know, and of course they do spill over into the 90s and they still reign supreme. We'll do 90s at another time because this actually took a lot longer than I thought, but we got a lot of great explanations for everything that's going on. So I'm here for this. I'm here for this. So before I get into my last pick, yeah, because everything else I got to say is like 90s, I believe. I'm going to save it. I'm going to save some. So anybody else before I get to this last, like, semi-sleeper pick?
I have one that I can use for the 80s, but I'm purposely going to save her for the 90s.
I like that.
Due to the fact that I have some information that a lot of people probably don't know.
Okay. So hey, I'm here for that.
So I'm going to wait, and I'm going to use that one for the 90s. Properly.
Okay. Cool. So now what I want to do, since you're doing that, I just want to throw in a young lady that we didn't even know probably was fired for 3 decades until you've seen this one movie. And the movie was called Moving. Have you ever seen the movie Moving with Richard Pryor?
I'm not going to say I haven't, but I'm also not going to say that I have.
Moving. So obviously we missed Richard Pryor's like prime as a comedian, right?
Yes.
When I tell you that for a long time, Moving was the funniest movie I ever seen. I died in this movie from front to back. But then fast forward in time, Clueless comes out. And I say, hey, I've seen that black girl before in something else. Stacey Dash. And then lo and behold, a couple months later, Moving randomly comes on HBO. And I realized, oh shit, Stacey Dash was the daughter in Moving, and now she's in Clueless. I'm like, damn, she's been super bad for a decade. Like, where was I at? When did I see this?
Bro, my mind is blown right now because she was definitely going to be a 90s pick for me.
Right? Hey.
What the fuck?
It's crazy. Yes.
Stacey Dash was bro, yeah. She was going to be one of my 90s no-brainers.
Yeah, hey. Yes, hey. And the thing is, you're still right.
And she's still a 90s no-brainer, but you telling me she was an 80s sleeper?
Yes, absolutely. An 80s sleeper. The movie Moving in 1988, Stacey Dash is the daughter in it. And I was like, yo, I'm just like, hey, I'm looking, I'm like, oh man, I was like, that girl is pretty hot. You know what I'm saying? I like this. But then Clueless comes out and I'm like, yo, I know I've seen this girl before somewhere. Like, what else was she in? I immediately go to like music videos. I'm trying to check Hype Williams shit. I'm like, like I know she's there somewhere. But yeah, no, Moving happened to come on randomly on HBO. And I was like, yo, that's and I was like, the girl, not is it Claire? No, not Claire, the girl, the black girl from Clueless. And I was like, yo, Stacey Dash. Oh shit.
Bro, how the fuck? How does she get to be a 90s no-brainer and also be an 80s sleeper?
Man.
Bro, so many people for the see this shit be like, what?
Facts. Yeah.
She been doing it this long?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Bro,
I know people. I got uncles and older cousins. Love Pryor movies. Love Pryor. Mm-hmm. And I guarantee they don't know that shit. I guarantee they don't know it.
Yeah, that's what the show is all about, baby. Made the 1980s and put everybody on game.
Bruh, that fucked me up right there.
Hey, listen, hey, I'm with you. I was just like, wow. I'm like, whoa. Yo, I think I know who that is. Straight up, I promise.
I love how you kept that with. I love how you kept that in the tuck. Now I get it. Now I get it. See, Cam, I'm figuring you out. This is the reason why you was like, no, we gotta get this done. I have to hit you with this one. I can't hold on to this for too much longer. I gotta give you this.
Yep, it's gotta go. It's gotta happen. It's gotta happen. And so now, since that was bomb of the show, boom, we got it, right? Now, I already told you who was the epitome of 80s sexy to me. And even she spills over to the 90s when we talk about Freddie Brooks, a.k.a. Cree Summers, right? Or it's Cree Summers, a.k.a. Freddie Brooks from A Different World. Now, I want to get into who I thought was always the baddest on Family Matters. And I got to... We're going to do Family Matters cast twice because the girls grow up, right? But somebody that I have always thought was just super cold, Thelma Hopkins, a.k.a. Aunt Rachel on Family Matters. Listen, my girl is laughing at me. I don't know why she's laughing so loud. Like, that's crazy. to not like Aunt Rachel, that's crazy. But, man, listen. When that show came out, I was like, yo, this show ain't gonna make it. I don't like none of these girls on here. but then, here come Rachel. I was like, oh, yeah, this show gonna work just fine. And then I was like, yo, they should have gave her a way bigger role. But, you know, Urkel saves the show anyway, so it ends up being cool. But, yo, you want to talk about, like, that's the bookend for me. Freddie and Rachel. That is it. Sum up my 80s. You want to sum up my 80s in two women, Freddie Brooks and Rachel from Family Matters. That's it. That's all I needed.
I respect it wholeheartedly. Now, I can't say, I'm not going to say that I have a two in the 80s that can sum me up because of our slight age gap.
Yeah, for sure.
But when we dive into the 90s,
yeah, yeah.
That's a whole nother can of worms we finna open, brother.
Yeah. Hey, yo, the 90s is gonna be fire because somehow, some way, we end up in the same spot. like eventually we all succeed. And the game changes. So I can't wait for the 90s either. We're gonna table this. Look, this is the 80s, the 80s sexy episode. And look, you know what, man? To be fair, you know, a lot of the guys that were holding it down in the 80s, I think they kind of go like, you know, I don't know if maybe unsung or not, but I think what was it like? Tom Cruise and Patrick Swayze, you know what I'm saying? Blair Underwood, you know what I'm saying? I think Denzel was popping then, you know what I mean? Yeah. So you know, so ladies, there you go. There's your bone. Bow. I don't know much about guys. You got to hit the comments and let us know. All right, this is the Wang and Camp from the Port, 80 Sex and Women's Edition. And that's how we rocking out. All right. Man. Oh, any last words or any last like picks that you were like, or you know what, you know who was super whack, but y'all thought was super cold, or do you think like overrated, underrated, whatever it is, like anything you want to add before we close out?
No, like we talked about, the one that I felt that the world went crazy over, that I felt was super overrated, was Willie Gilbert.
Oh yeah, Willie Gilbert. Yeah, yeah.
And of course, Vanna White. Like, yeah, like I said, yeah. Very talented young lady. Extremely. Yeah. You know, walk right, flip a card. Walk left, flip a card.
Yeah. I mean, hey, good job. What more do you want? Good job, you know what I mean? We're doing what we can. Man, I can't wait to talk the 90s. Maybe we'll do it next week. Maybe, you know? You know, I mean, hey, at this point, why not?
I think we make a boy.
Yeah. Well, you know what?
Let's make a boy.
We'll cover the 90s soon. That's what we'll do. Yo, man. Listen, we appreciate y'all checking out another episode of Made in the 1980s, an escape from your grown-ass life. Hopefully, we had you tap into your childhood with some of your favorite TV, movie, and music crushes, or maybe, just maybe, you were of age and you felt that you could have nailed some of the women that we talked about in this list. You might have tried, you know what I'm saying? We don't know, but we'd love to hear from you. Thank you for tuning in, and just know, it's always love.
Sit, Ubu, sit. Good dog.